by throwing the ball into the turf.
Ground ball left side, diving stop, Laurie, and he gets rid of the throw. Second for the Forest to retire the Rays in the eighth inning. Outstanding play.
There's a drive. Laurie on the run, takes one away from Morales.
On his face, Brent Laurie can make plays anywhere on the field.
There he goes. Bounce toward third. Laurie gets a big hop, bare hands it, throws. What a play!
Here's the leap. If he comes down before he throws it, it's too late.
It is Sportsfeld story time. We are digging back into a really unique time as a Blue Jay fan. In between sort of eras, as I sort of would categorize what happens here, we're looking back 2011, the Brett Laurie explosion. Brett Laurie arriving on the scene, and we sort of said it before, is if you weren't there, you'll never understand that Brett Laurie was pretty much immediately one of the most famous athletes in this entire city. The trajectory was like, this guy's going to be a multiple time all-star. He's going to lead the Blue Jays into their next generation of success. It'll be him, and it'll be Aaron Sebia, and it'll be Romero, and it'll be Jose Bautista. We'll bring the Blue Jays back to relevance. Those were all reasonable thoughts, I have to tell you, in the summer of 2011.
So I've been thinking about it since we recorded episode one last week. And we said a lot, and you just said that unless you were a fan of the Blue Jays in 2011, it's you just can't explain the Brett Laurie thing because it was so insane. The best way I can explain it is when Brett Laurie was traded for literally Josh Donaldson. There were people who were like, I don't know.
Mm, yeah, absolutely.
And he wasn't even good by then. That was the power of 2011 Brett Laurie.
He came on and he was, I mean, he hit 293, 373, 580 for a 953 OPS, a 153 OPS plus. He hit 9 home runs in 40 games, 4 triples, 8 doubles, drove in 25, stole 7 bases. And it should be added, was like a highlight reel third baseman as well. He the hard charging diving plays, he would make throws like vertical. He'd be horizontal in the air, laying out, bare handing balls. He was just like a supernova at third base. And we had just had the E5 era where like Encarnacion could hit but couldn't play third base. And they had Scott Rolen there. So it was like, how are they possibly going to fix this? And Brett Laurie was like everything you could possibly want that to be and more.
Brett Laurie's first game as a Blue Jay came on August 5th, 2011, against the Baltimore Orioles. He hit ninth and went 2-for-4 with an RBI.
Father Tom is watching in Vancouver, and Tom, your wish has come true. Your grandson is playing in the big leagues. Up the middle, base hit. Laurie is going to get an RBI as the first run of the ball game will come in for the Blue Jays, and Encarnacion scores, and how about that?
And that was all we needed to see. He drove in a run on us. He singled in the second inning to drive in Encarnacion. And he was like, it was just like, it was the thing about Laurie is because of the Canadian-ness, because of the way he played, and because the Blue Jays were a game above 500 in August when he showed up, it was just like, this is appointment viewing now.
Yes.
It was just so exciting from literally from game one.
Yeah, it was appointment viewing. That's a great point. And to cap off that series, he homers in the finale against Baltimore. They win that game 7-2, and he's still batting ninth, but goes 2-for-4 with his first home run.
12 hits in his first 10 games as a Blue Jay. Like,
it's crazy.
It wasn't just that we thought he was going to be Like, I feel like how you laid out the game was too small for the expectations.
I know.
In August of 2011, which seems crazy today. Cause like he played fucking 40 games.
Let me ask you this. Where were you August 2021 or 2011? Cause that's funny. I have a really, really crystallized memory of this time Brett Lurie plays into it. Like there's a Brett Lurie moment that I will remember for a very long time. And it really crystallizes sort of me in 2011 at that point. So where were you in 2011?
I was in my parents' house for the most part in 2011. I moved back to Toronto from Montreal after getting dumped in July of 2011.
Okay.
So as we do when we're down, we latch on to our sports and especially our baseballs. And the Blue Jays weren't particularly exciting in 2011. But I remember the Brett Lurie mania because it was like in July, or I guess it would have been in August. I didn't remember when. Somewhere around the start of Brett Lurie, they acquired Colby Rasmus.
Right.
And then Brett Lurie showed up and Jose Bautista was hitting. And it was the Blue Jays in 2011 were a very important team for me because it was one of those things I could sort of throw myself into after being heartbroken and moving back home and all those things. But it was also sort of one of my ways of being like, I'm back in Toronto.
Mm.
Like I can root for the Jays again and the games are on television every day in bars. Yeah. And I can go to the games every day if I wanted to, because we were averaging 13,000 fans a game. And it was just like, but it was the 2011 Blue Jays were a big part of me reacclimating to Toronto.
Huge.
And like restarting my life in a lot of ways.
That's awesome. Yeah. And Brett Lurie, what better way to be reborn than in the spirit of Brett Lurie? I mean.
Right. But that was it. It was like he had until the so what fuck you team, there was no one more so what fuck you, maybe still in Blue Jays history, than Brett Lurie.
Yeah. I mean, he's so ridiculous. Like
for better and for worse.
He'd make a big play and then he'd just like scream his way through the dugout, like smashing people's hands with high fives. Absolutely top of his lungs screaming. Like he played at 150% speed at all times. He would crash into railings. He fell into that one pit at Yankee Stadium.
The pit catch or non-catch, I guess. I feel like if that happened, I think in 2014, when like he was kind of on his way out, if that had happened in 2011, like I remember the reaction being like, Jesus Christ, man. Like if that happened in the season we're talking about, it would have been on posters.
Yeah. I'll tell you the crystallizing moment for me in this run is the summer of 2011. It was August 10th. This is truly only 5 games into the Brett Lurie experience. It was Blue Jays Athletics, and I worked a shift at Uncle Betty's, the restaurant that I worked at after I worked. I went back to school. So I had gone back to school. I had given up my Blue Jays path in life at the time. I was like, I'm going to be a television producer and produce the Jays games. That was sort of my first trajectory. And then I was like, I'm going to go to comedy school, completely alter my life, turn things upside down, and be a waiter again at 26. I was like, okay. Gutsy. Love to see it. But remember, look,
who amongst us hasn't completely upended our career at 26?
Of course. It's the year you're supposed to do it. Worked a shift that night, and then I would occasionally, on my way home, I would stop in at a restaurant and order, honestly, got a Boston Pizza at Eglinton. I would go in and I would order this salad and a beer just to sort of eat solo. I don't know if you've ever eaten by yourself at a restaurant, Jake, but it's excellent.
It's excellent. And I will say, as someone who has also served before, I completely understand the desire to just go sit by yourself for a couple hours after a serving shift.
And not bother my waiter. Just feel like, hey, right, I need beer and a salad. I'm going to pay for this immediately. And then I will just disappear. And
I will give you the cash I just earned from doing what you're doing.
Absolutely right.
And then go home.
So it is a 3-1 game for the Athletics. And Lurie comes up bottom six, I want to say.
Still hitting ninth, by the way.
Still hitting ninth. And they go to the bullpen. They bring in Craig Breslow. He gives up a single to Aaron Hill. Aaron Sevilla strikes out, if you can believe that. And then one out, bottom six. Brett Laurie comes to the plate, and I am quite literally, I'll never forget this, I am getting up to leave the restaurant, and I stop and I literally say, oh, I need to hang on a second. Laurie's about to hit a grand slam. Stop and I turn, and he absolutely, like, no doubts it into the left field corner. And it was like, that's what it was. It was like, first of all, I can't leave the restaurant before seeing Laurie hit because it's going to be exciting. And like, he's obviously about to hit a game winning home run and like put them up down from down 3-1. And he did. And he would double in his next at bat in the eighth. He was just like, he's absolutely electric. It was everything you could possibly expect. And then I also remember later that summer, would have been September, because I would have been the first week of September, because I would have been coming back from school, because I would have been walking back from the subway. I was walking back from the subway and I saw somebody I had used to work at Sportsnet with, somebody that was like this guy that was a flash from my life I had just given up, that Brett Laurie sort of helped represent. And he asked me about Brett Laurie. He was like, can you believe it? Can you believe this guy out of nowhere? And I was like, he's born to be the biggest superstar in the city. Like, I don't see any other possible way this can possibly turn out. Like, we just standing on the street, just like gushing about this guy. So ridiculous. But he was the toast of the town. August, September 2011. He was the only guy anybody talking about sports.
I think that you phrased it perfectly. It felt like he was destined to be basically kind of what Kyle Lowry is today.
Right.
He was like destined to own Toronto.
Yeah.
And for like 18 months he did, which is crazy, but it's such a funny sort of footnote in Blue Jay history, in the sense that like, it wasn't successful in the end of it. It didn't really do anything for the team in a lot of ways, but like, it was just the biggest thing in the world. It's especially weird to me in retrospect after the 2015 and 2016 Blue Jays, after the last 5 years of the Maple Leafs, after the last 9 years or 7 years of the Raptors, how massive this was, because at the time, like, Toronto had nothing.
They had traded Halliday. There was zero expectation.
The Jays were bad. TFC were bad. The Leafs were bad. The Raptors were bad. The Raptors were, Bosch was on his, had I think already left at this point. Like, the Leafs were dog shit and TFC were terrible. The Jays were like, it was just, it's one of the only, like, of my early 20s, like, Toronto sports unifiers, even though the team was still pretty bad.
Mm-hmm. No, but it brought them to something they hadn't had. Even throughout Halliday, he was sort of the comics comic, where like, you had to already really love baseball to get why it was fun to watch Halliday. Whereas like, Laurie, it was like, just sit down and watch. Like, he's going to explain it as soon as the ball gets hit to him or as soon as he gets up. It was like self-evident what about him was special. And you sort of touched on it, that way he played, the reckless abandon, he was the human can of Red Bull. Just clearly like just 21 year old, like, absolute shit eating wild man that was somehow also a Canadian that also was having this unbelievable stretch for the Blue Jays. I know it seems like we're just talking about it for 15 minutes straight. Like, I can't believe it. But like, again, if it was like, man, you never see anything like it in this city, really, in terms of sudden arrival and then being absolutely everywhere.
I would argue that in a lot of ways, we still haven't seen it.
Yeah. Like, it's funny. The only guy that I would put near that hilariously is Josh Donaldson.
Right. But even that took a while.
Right.
Cause there was the Laurie crew who was like, I don't know. And then like, obviously Donaldson was, which is crazy.
Well, but a lot of people had bought red jerseys. Right.
That's a very good point. But like, with Donaldson, obviously he was amazing from the jump, but it took a while. Like, one of the big revisionist things about the 2015 team is that people were going before July.
Absolutely.
Like, you, me, and Zach went to Chris Colabello's first game, and I think we sat in like four different seats that game because you could.
Yes, we had the ballpark pass, and
right.
So we would just go in and then sit wherever we want. I would go in and sit 200 level outfield behind the bullpen because you could sit in the shade.
Yeah,
and literally there was never an usher. I went to like 30 games and never saw an usher.
But
so.
People forget in 2015 that like it wasn't always like the David Price game mm-hmm. in the crowd there. It was pretty empty still because they're a 500 team.
Yeah.
So like I feel like Donaldson I think became what Lori hype was. Like by the end of the season, he was untouchable. But I remember I went to the game one of the Raptors Wizards series that the Raptors lost. And that same day, Josh Donaldson walked off the Braves. And we were literally walking past Skydome as he hit the home run. Because we were hoping to get to the bar to watch the end of the Jays game after the Raptors game. Because the Raptors game's at like noon. Because it's game one in a Raptors series. And I feel like Donaldson walked off the Braves and people were like excited and happy that he was so good. But it was like May and everyone was kind of bummed about the Raptors game. And people were like, oh, Josh Donaldson's. I remember being in the bar and people being like, Josh Donaldson's cool. But like, I don't know. Like the Blue Jays, like Brett Laurie, that Blue Jays team sucked. Well, it didn't suck, but like they weren't that good. And then, but like people were just like Brett Laurie.
Yeah.
Anywhere you went, you were like, did you see Brett Laurie today? It's great. Like I don't even Vlad, like people were very excited for Vlad's first game. And we all went to Vlad's first game, but then the team was bad. And the rest of the season, they're like, oh, Vlad's here.
Yes, and Vlad was hype about what he was supposed to be, whereas Lori was like, here's what this guy is, right?
Yeah.
He is this right now, where part of the hype of Vlad is like, he's gonna come up and be the best player. And it was like Lori before he arrived was like, they're going to call up Lori. And it's like, oh, cool. I don't know what that means. And he finally arrives and like, oh my God, this guy is like a piss-soaked firework, like unbelievable.
Right, because like we traded Sean Markham for him, I want to say, and yep. He was still a prospect. So it was just like, all right, they're calling up the Canadian guy.
Right.
Like who amongst us had been watching Brett Laurie in the minors? You know what I mean?
It's a different time. You never paid any mind to what Brett Laurie would have been doing in the PCL. And we also had just learned to not trust the PCL was the second
time. Right.
Anyway, we're going to dig in next week, talk about the peak of 2011 Laurie Mania. It's September 5th, 2011 at the Rogers Center, a Monday afternoon game against the Boston Red Sox, a nail biter, an extra inning game. And we'll deal with it and talk about it next week on Sports World Storytime.